Hi, welcome everyone. Welcome to my podcast. I'm Cindy LeBlanc, and the name of this podcast is My Rabbit Grace. This is podcast number 4, Housing Your Rabbit. I'm using these podcasts as a way of sharing my experiences with my pet house rabbits. I have about 12 years of experience with 2 pet bunnies, and my current bunny is Grace. I used to have another bunny who died last year of old age. That was Wabbert. He was a dwarf bunny. And Grace is a very energetic and exuberant, she's about between three and four years old. Now, she is a lop-eared bunny, though I don't think she's full-breaded. She looks like a lop-eared bunny, so that's why I say that, and she's giant. She's about 10 pounds. And she's a wonderful, happy little bunny. And anyways, with these podcasts, I hope to help others who currently have pet rabbits by sharing my own experiences. I also want to help people who are thinking about getting a pet rabbit, sometimes to discourage them from doing so unless they really have a lot of energy and the desire to spend a lot of time taking care properly of these beautiful creatures, and sometimes for those who know that they can handle that commitment or want that commitment in their life, maybe I'll give them some tips that would save them some aggravation in the future or make their lives just a little easier, and also maybe to help their bunnies be happier as well because of the great care that they're getting. I also want to create a community of rabbit lovers who will share some of their own experiences, and they can do that by sending me either an email or sending me an attachment on their email, which is an MP3 recording. That way I can, at the beginning or end of podcasts, share some of those notes or feedback files with others. I'm going to do that today at the end of this podcast. I have a really nice comment and some tips from Judy from Maryland. So that's going to be a nice treat today. If you would like to send me comments, my email address is cleblanc@charter.net, and that's spelled C-L-A-B-L-A-N-C at charter, it's C-H-A-R-T-E-R dot net, N-E-T. And if you want to see my site, which actually houses my podcasts, it is at http://myrabbitgrace.podomatic.com. That's the My Rabbit Grace is all one word, dot. Podomatic is spelled podomatic.com. So the only thing different on that is you're not putting the www. It's just http://myrabbitgrace.podomatic.com. So, here we are. Onward. We are on podcast number 4, and it is Housing Your Rabbit. Now, these things that I give you are what I do, so everybody is a little bit different, but at least with the experiences that I have with housing Grace, and also I'll refer a little bit to what I used to house Wabbert in, who was a tiny dwarf bunny. Grace is a big bunny, so it demanded different things for either. Of course, I've also evolved with Gracie, and my way of thinking is a little bit different, and hopefully better for the rabbit. So when I got Gracie a few years back, her original cage, she came with her original cage because she was a rescue bunny, and if you'll check out one of my early podcasts, it tells the story of Gracie, and you can get an idea of where she came from and her history and where she is now. But her original cage that she came with was about 24 and a half inches long by, I would say, maybe 12 and a half inches wide, maybe slightly wider. I'm guessing from memory here. And it was about 14 and a half inches high. And what I did is I recalled my memory, and then I, because I don't have the cage anymore, I looked up on the internet something that looked about the same size she came in, and I think it's pretty accurate. But anyways, Gracie was a big rabbit. At the time, she was very skinny, so I don't know how she would possibly fit in there and do much of anything now that she's, gained the appropriate weight for her size. But she was an emaciated rabbit. But as far as lengthwise, that poor rabbit was darn near as long as the cage was when she stretched out. So, as you can probably surmise at this point, she was way too big for that cage. She fit in there, and sometimes that's what a lot of people think is, well, they fit in there and they could turn around a couple of times, and that should be sufficient. But while they can do all those things, it's not a great way to spend your life. In fact, it rings to me as a bit inhumane. I try to, as people who've listened to my podcasts know, I try to put myself in the same situation, and although I wouldn't want to be a rabbit in any case, there's some things that would make my life really miserable, and being in a small cage would be one of them. So I try to do the best that I can, and truly do the best that I can to make life as well as I can possibly make it for my rabbits. So, going on, what kind of cage did I get for Gracie? Well, as soon as I knew that I was going to be keeping Gracie, well, actually, I didn't really know I was going to be keeping her at the time, but I just decided I would buy her a big cage, and even if I wouldn't be keeping her because the girl that gave her to me, I wasn't sure if she would give her to me. But I decided I would anyways buy a bigger cage so that at least that rabbit would have a humane lifestyle. And that would just be my charitable contribution to the rabbit's happiness. But anyways, I ended up keeping her. Was able to convince the girl who had her before, who didn't have the ability to care for her properly. I managed to convince her to let me adopt her, and so this cage has stood me well for the 3 years that I have had her. The new cage is, I'll give you the dimensions and the brand, and I would highly recommend this cage. It was a little bit what I thought at the time was pricey, but I thought, well, hopefully it'll last, and it will be an investment, and it will be a great humane thing for the rabbit, and reasonably easy for me to clean as well. And so I sprung for it, and here it is 3 years later, and the cage is still in wonderful, great shape. So the price for it did pay off. By the way, the price, I got it for about $200, and I'll give you more information on that soon, in the next couple of minutes. So the new cage is a Rabbit Trail Deluxe 3-level rabbit house with stand and comfort floor. So Rabbit Trail, if you're looking for that brand, you can search the internet to get some price comparisons on it. It's spelled RABBITRAIL. So Rabbit Trail, but it's all one word and only one T in there, rather than, two T's. Rabbit Trail, one T. Deluxe 3-level rabbit house. The dimensions of it are 32 inches by 32 inches by 29 inches. And it says overall it's 34 inches. It looks like a big square cube. It's, reasonably tall, about 34 inches high. And the manufacturer of it, though you don't have to buy it from the manufacturer. In fact, at the manufacturer's website, I saw the cage parts, but I couldn't see where you could buy it directly from the manufacturer. So you'll want to just search the web and get it through somebody else. The manufacturer is Super Pet, and their website, if you want to learn more about them, is it's Super Pet Pets International Limited, It's located in Elk Grove, Illinois, and their website is www.superpetusa.com. And their manufacturer's number on the cage is 60292, but I think it might vary at other sites where you can buy it. I know that you can buy it also at rabbitcentral.com. You can also buy it at rabbitcentral.com. It costs $232 right now. I also managed to find it at another website for sale for cheaper, and that website is www.thatpetplace.com, and that's just all one word together, thatpetplace.com. And right now I saw it as being on sale there for $199, and the regular price isn't much more. It's only $205 as the regular price at thatpetplace.com. Boy, that's a tongue twister. Anyways, if you do get it there, it's called the Rabbit Trail Home Deluxe, and their item number is, it's either PI0237 or P10237. I think it's PI0237 though. It's hard to tell those I's and ones sometimes on the websites. And if you do buy that cage, I would recommend buying some extra clips for the floorboard of that cage, because I had to replace a couple on them, and as well the cage clips together. And I haven't yet had trouble with the other clips, like, to build it and stuff, but after 3 years they're starting to show a little wear, so I'm actually going to go to the manufacturer, because that's where they sell the spare parts, and they're really cheap. I'm going to buy some more clips and keep them on hand, because the cage is really great and it's really, wearing nicely, staying in good shape. But the clips that you have to push on and off, those take a lot of wear, and before they discontinue the cage, it's probably best to get some spare parts. Like I said, I had to replace a few of the clips on the floorboard. Maybe just a total of four through 3 years, but it always pays to have a few extra things on hand in case those things happen. And like I said, who knows when they'll discontinue these cages, and at least you'll be set for the life of your rabbit or rabbits. I bought the parts at superpetusa.com, and got for a 4-pack, it was 99 cents. So, you would just look up the Rabbit Trail, what is it, 60292 model number, the spare parts for that, and just order some, keep them on hand, label them, put them in your in a little basket of spare parts, and you'll always be able to find them through the years. That's my way of doing things. So, anyways, it's the cage is about $200, and well, what does it look like? If you go onto the website, you'll see a picture, but I'll try to describe. It's, like I said, it's a little over 3 feet tall with the stand, and it is got a floorboard which has what they call a comfort track. It's easier. It's plastic. It's good sturdy plastic, but it's easy on the rabbit's feet. Won't get their nails all stuck in there, and God knows when they get their nails stuck in there, they could, break a toe because they panic and that sort of thing. I haven't had any trouble with that, though I have heard of people having trouble with the metal cage bottoms. Then it also has two shelves on there, two long shelves, and a couple of ramps going up to them. And my rabbit Grace, well, she likes to eat on one of the shelves, and she sometimes lays on that shelf too, but mostly the upper shelf is where she likes to take her naps and to sleep at night. In the there's two shelves. One is higher, and the lower shelf, I'm not talking the floorboard now, but the lower shelf, I put her food always on the front part of it. I always put things in the same place because it seems like the rabbit has a lot easier of a time, or seems to like it better when I put things in the same places. I put the food up front and in front of her water dish. She has a water bowl because she is one of those rare rabbits that really doesn't care for a water bottle. So I give her a spin type water bowl. And I will tell you what it is. I got the Lixit Quick Lock Crock, and I found that that was the best water dish you could possibly get. It is round, and it just you can remove it easily. It there's a stand, kind of a stand type thing that you screw onto the cage, and then the bowl fits into like a preformed hole, and you twist it on and off so that the bowl comes in and out really, really easy. I have it towards the front of the cage on the first right so she can access it from the first level, the first stand that's in there. And right now I have a 10-ouncer because I wanted to save space in the cage, but I have to fill that twice a day because she drinks a lot of water. And I would recommend for people to get the 20-ounce bowl because that's probably would be the right amount of water for, you know, probably last them, you know, 24 hours, slightly more. But at least you know the rabbit won't be thirsting to death. As everyone knows, you can die of dehydration if you're left without water for, you know, a few days, and not to mention a very not a very good way to expire. But on to better subjects. The Lixit, Lixit Quick Lock Crock is $7.99 online. And you might be able to get it at your local pet store or ask them to order it for you. But you could also get that when you buy your cage all at the same time, save some shipping. I did have a different water. Like I said, the water bottle that I used to have was a big one. And while Wabbert, the little rabbit, liked drinking out of a water bottle a lot, and it was a great way to keep the water clean, Gracie doesn't really like the water bottle much. Now, if I was going on vacation and I was having somebody watch my rabbit, I would probably have them use the crock bowl, you know, like the little bowl for water. But I would also, for security's sake, in case they, God knows they forgot to fill it or something, I would also use the water bottle as a insurance kind of thing, just in case. Sometimes people have good intentions, but they might forget to fill the water. I think that Gracie, in a desperate situation, would probably use the water bottle, but she only uses it when she's desperate. So that's something to keep in mind as well. That you know, as a, if you might be inclined to forget, you might use the dual system. You know, especially if your rabbit likes to drink from a bowl. You know, at least have a water bottle in those circumstances where somebody forgot to do the water. Also, in a bowl, it tends to sometimes it can get dirty if you have it too close to the food. Mine is away from the dry food and away from the bottom of the cage, so I don't have any problem with it getting dirty. Of course, I do, you know, every couple of days, you know, give the bowl good, you know, cleaning. Either clean it with cleanser and then rinse it very thoroughly, or I, if I'm just doing a quick, you know, daily cleaning, I'll just wipe it out with you know, fresh water, paper towel, and rinse it real good. So that's something to keep in mind too. Keep that bowl clean, because otherwise, you know, in time it gets mold. It could get mold around the sides or the beginnings of mold. And you know, it's always nice to have a clean drink of water versus a not so clean one. Okay, let's see. Next thing. So what I do with the feeding is Grace eats her pellets that she gets daily. I put it in a bowl, and I put that bowl, if I was facing the cage, I have it in the, let's see, the far right back corner, and I always put it there. That way it's not underneath one of the shelves. If I put it under one of the shelves, then I think she would have a hard time getting at the food. Even though it might, you know, save space in the cage, she couldn't get both her, you know, it would be a stretch for her to get her neck into the the bowl, you know, if one of the shelves was just above it. So I put it in the far right corner where she has plenty of room to get at it, and it's always in the same place. And the reason I put it also in that same corner is because I have her potty trained to go in a litter box, and I like to, you know, get her trained so that things are in exactly the same places so that she continues to use her litter box, and I don't want to tempt fate, so to speak. Her litter box, coming to that, is in the right front part corner. It is one of those corner litter boxes, and it's the small one, and the reason I got the small one is because it fits through the door. The large corner boxes do not fit through the door. And as you can hear me kind of leaping through some pages, I just have taken a few notes so that I could give you a little more detail, being that there's no pictures on this podcast, as to you know, what to get if you're wanting to set up your cage similar to mine. The corner cage that I have, I measured it, and it's the small one, and it's like triangular shaped. It has a high back with two little plastic clips on the backside to clip to the cage. Don't trust those clips because they really don't hold. They're a good way to kind of get it in position, but your rabbit will take that off in a second, right? Unclip them right from the cage. What I did with these corner boxes is I drilled two little holes right near where the plastic clips are. You know, two holes, about an inch and a half apart, two inches maybe even. And I got some of those shower curtain clips. They look like a safety pin, but they're bigger. And if you laid them on the table, they're shaped as if they were like a light bulb. And they clip on. They have no sharp corners, but they clip on and they clip shut, like as if a safety pin, and you can get them at hardware stores. And what I do is I put them through those holes that I drilled in the triangular litter box, and then I, on each side, one on each side, and then when I put the litter box in the cage, I open that clip up and, you know, clip it to the cage as well, because if you don't, the rabbit will take that corner box and it'll be all over the cage. My daughter once forgot to clip it on, and when I woke up in the morning, not only was the cage a mess, the litter box was underneath one of her, you know, shelves in there. There's no way she could even get to it, so it was a big mess. So if you clip it on there, that's the best way to do it. Now, the dimensions of the small triangular litter box, the small one is at the widest part of the triangle, it's 13 and a half inches long. And if I was measuring front to back, from the front of the triangle to the back high end, it's about 9.5 inches. And like I said, it was key to get that size because it fits through the door of this rabbit trail three-level housing. The large one I used to have one of those when I had a different cage, and that was from the longest triangular part of the thing. It was 20 and a half inches, and from front to back, it was 14 inches. So it's pretty big. That's for one that has a bigger door, if you can find a rabbit cage that fits in the house with a bigger door. But when I bought the little one, I thought, you know, my rabbit's pretty big. She's close to 10 pounds. How is she going to fit her little rump in that small thing? But believe it or not, she does it, and I'm so glad I got that, because who wants a cage that's all full of litter? Not me. Not if I can avoid it. So she just uses that as her little toilet bowl and goes to the bathroom, and of course I change it every night. I use pine chips for it, and because it's so small, it's not really an issue with the aroma. Sometimes people have said that if you use pine chips, the aroma salts the nasal passages too much and sometimes can cause problems, but because I just use a small litter box, you know, she's not exposed to a lot of that smell, you know, on a constant basis. So for me, pine chips have worked well, although I am getting ready to experiment with a different type litter stuff. I just ordered it. I'll let you guys know how it goes. It's specially designed for rabbits. Supposedly, you can scoop out the used stuff and almost like those cat scooper things. I'll let you know how it goes. It sounds a little expensive, but like I said, we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you posted. I'd just like to add that it's best not to use cat litter for your rabbit's litter box, because a lot of rabbits will tend to nibble at that stuff, and with the clay, it can't be good for their digestive tract. So that I would say, to stay away from. So anyways, that litter box is in the front of the cage, and I also have it in the front because I want it easy to reach so that I can take it in and out. You make your life difficult by putting things in the wrong places that are inconvenient to get, and you end up procrastinating and not, taking care and keeping it as clean as you would be. Convenience is the mother of efficiency. So make your life as convenient as you possibly can, and you'll tend to not dread doing it as much. And the food bowl, I have to kind of reach way back to get it, but that's not such a big hassle as if I had to do the litter box way in the back. So, and the water bowl, as I said, is in the front on the lower first shelf, very accessible, not a hassle to change or clean. And I put nightly her fresh vegetables in front of the water bowl, and that's where she eats that. And I always leave the top shelf of her cage free and free of food smells or anything like that, so that that could be her little bed, and that seems to be what she chooses to do. And like I said, put things if you can in exactly the same location, because then your rabbit seems to be happier, and they also get used to that regularity, and makes litter box training much easier. I also have in that cage a chew wheel, like a teething wheel, for that's a special for rabbits, and it clips on in. I put it in the back of the cage, kind of nearby the food bowl. I've tried one of those clip-on hay things. It holds hay to keep it off the floor of the cage, and for me, it kept coming off. And also, even when I did find a way to keep it on the cage, clipped on the cage, she would just pull the hay out and wouldn't really eat it, and it would be all over the cage. So what I do for the Timothy hay, so that she gets her daily dose of that, is I will give it to her when I let her out on, she comes out every day in my bathroom, which is rabbit-proofed, and she gets a handful of Timothy hay in there. And then at the end of the day, of course, it's a little bit of a mess. I just sweep it up. It takes, 3 minutes to sweep up the room. So this way, I have less work with cleaning the cage, because I try to keep the stuff that's messy out of it, while still making sure that she's well cared for and has plenty of food, water, and the things that she would need during the evening. Okay, so moving on. I don't put anything under the first shelf, which is the floor bottom, because there's not much room there, and Grace really doesn't like hanging out there anyways. I would guess that there's some rabbits, it looks to me like it would be a good place that some rabbits would like to sleep, but mine doesn't. I don't put any veggies or anything. That's the reason I don't put the fresh veggies on that grated floor, is because they end up slipping through the grates and they get on the newspaper that's underneath. And if you don't, if they slip through there, you're going to end up cleaning the cage more often, because it'll get down, the veggies will get down there, and you'll get mold starting, and she can't get to it, and it's probably frustrating for it to slip down there. So I just put on that first shelf, and that way it makes the cage less prone to have to clean it as much. I clean my cage. I give it a big cleaning every 2 weeks, because she uses her litter box for, 90% of her droppings go in the litter box. About 10% she slips up and goes through the grate, but she never urinates on the grating, so it stays pretty clean. Her food, she'll knock over her pellet bowl, and that gets down there, but that is not something that, you know, I have to worry about mold or anything. And a little bit of the chippings from the pine get knocked in there, but they're usually not the ones that are soiled. So I give it a big cleaning every 2 weeks and a small cleaning every week. Maybe I'll vacuum out the corners, and from the door I can lift up the grating a little bit, and I use this teeny tiny little broom and dustpan. And what I'll do is, because the tray itself underneath the grating is lined with newspaper, and I will sweep that up and sweep up spilled pine chippings and food pellets and stuff, or the hair or whatever. There's not much hair gets in there, but a little. And I'll sweep it up and use that little dustpan and just, you know, take it out. That's the small cleaning that I do. If you feel like you want to do that, you know, every few days or every week, and then do a big cleaning where you take up the cage and remove the newspapers, you know, every 2 weeks. It seems to be fine with my cage. Of course, I only have one rabbit in it. So, anyways, the floor bottom, what does it look like? Well, it is plastic, comfort-type floor. It clips together. I never take off the clips. When I clean it, I just pull out the whole floor, lift up the top part of the cage. Look like the Incredible Hulk woman lifting it up. It's really not heavy. But I lift it up in one piece. It just pulls right up. I don't clip the cage part, you know, the cage top to the bottom plastic piece, because there's no way that rabbit's going to lift it anyways. And when I clean it, you know, I can just lift it straight up and it comes off. The rabbit wouldn't be able to lift it because it's way too heavy. It's not heavy that I can't lift it, but it's way too heavy for the rabbit to lift. The floor bottom, well, what it has on this cage is a plastic bottom, and that plastic bottom sits on a little stand, which sits about 4 inches from the floor. And what I do in that plastic bottom is I'll first lay newspaper. If you want to get into the nitty-gritty, I like the New York Times, because I only have to open that one thing open, and I don't have to double up on anything. It's just, it fits the full bottom of the cage, but you can use any newspaper you like. So then, after I've put the newspaper on there, I put that plastic floor bottom, which comes with the cage, and then from there, I lift up the cage top, which sits about 3 foot tall, and I just place it on top of the plastic piece. And that's easy enough to lift, and as long as you have room in front of it, you know, to set it down on. That's what I do. I look like the Incredible Hulk. Make sure behind me there's a spot to place it, and that's what I do. And what I do when I'm cleaning it is I will, you know, lift off, take out the plastic grate, roll up the paper with all the stuff in it. I have a big plastic garbage bag next to me as I'm doing it, so I can just, you know, twist to one side and put it in the plastic garbage bag, and then I use that little broom and dustpan and sweep out what I missed. I use a little vacuum, which I've got this great little vacuum called a EuroPro. It's a handheld. It's called the Shark. It's model, let's see, it looks like EP033. And man, that thing, I just put the hose attachment on there and it vacuums up all the hair and the pellets that I miss. And it's, you know, sometimes you have to clean it a couple times as you're cleaning the cage because of all the rabbit hair that gets in there. But it doesn't take bags. It's just, you just empty it out, basically. So it's a great little vacuum. So that's what I do. And so I'm sweeping it out, taking out the newspaper, vacuuming it, and then I take a couple of those wipes, what do they call them, Clorox disinfecting wipes. They're all ready to go, and I just, clean and wipe out all the shelves and the floor bottom. Sometimes if I want to do a big cleaning, I'll take it outside and hose it down. But like I said, my rabbit is litter box trained, so that's she really doesn't dirty up the cage too badly. Now, if she had digestive problems or whatever, which she has had in the past until I changed her food, then, of course, you might want to take it outside and hose it down and disinfect it there. But, I use those wipes, and it hasn't seemed to cause any problem with the rabbit. In fact, it seems to keep it sanitary. I, don't put her back in until, of course, the cage is completely dried out, which only takes minutes with those wipes. But, yeah, that's what I do. And it's been a great cage. I thought when I first bought it that it was just going to be too much cage to clean, but because she's litter box trained, it really is not bad. Once a week, a quick cleaning, and every 2 weeks, a bigger cleaning takes me about, for big cleaning, about 20 minutes. Put on some nice tunes or something, or a nice podcast, or book on tape, and it makes the job go a little bit easier. Used to be, what was it, whistle while you work, and the job goes down a little easier. Now it's listen to a podcast or some music, and the job goes down a lot easier. Oh, one thing I should mention about the door of the cage. The door, it clips shut. You can also just push it shut, and it kind of stays there. Well, I would recommend when you're done and your rabbit is away for the evening or however amount of time it's spending in the cage, use what it's got a real nice clip on there that you should use, because my experience has been this. When I first got it, the first couple of months, I thought, well, it just pushes closed, and it seems to be pretty secure there, just like that. I don't really need to take the extra effort and really clip it. Well, one day, I'm down in my kitchen making dinner, and of course I hear all kinds of goings-on upstairs, and I have a cat, so I thought, well, the cat's probably doing loop-de-loos in the upstairs and getting some exercise. Well, I heard a thump, and rabbits like to make thump when they're really happy, agitated, or who knows what. But I heard this thump, and I thought, well, that really didn't sound like the cat. So I went upstairs, and much to my surprise, Gracie learned how to just push open the door, which probably doesn't take acrobatics to learn, but she did. And so I got the nice surprise that, oh, guess what? I'm glad I was home, because I could have had many, many chewed wires, because that's what they seem to like. But in any case, now I clipped the door shut appropriately, and it has not been a problem. It's not the type of clip that a rabbit can get out of if they needed to. But if you just push it closed like I did, you may get a surprise like I did. So that's my recommendation on that experience. Okay, now, also another tip on the cage. It's about 3 feet tall, and, like I said, it's about a 3-foot by 3-foot cube. And it's not really strong enough, the top, to hold things. Now, you may be tempted to put all kinds of stuff on top of there, but it will, you don't want to have misjudgment on that, because you might be downstairs or in the other room, and all of a sudden you hear a crash, or worse yet, you don't even hear a crash, and your rabbit is pinned down inside their cage by something that has that you've placed on the top that has in time caused the whole cage to collapse. So rabbits have very fragile bones, and as I've learned, I had a instance happen where my rabbit Wabbert, he once jumped out of my arms. Sometimes can get a little wild when you're lifting them up. Well, he did, and he sprung right out of my arms once, and landed, jumped himself behind his cage, which was up on a table, and in the process he twisted his toe and broke it. And so I got to learn, that yes, they do have very fragile bones, and it was just an awful experience for him and for me, because the poor thing cried all night long. Rabbits tear, and when they're in pain, and he tears streamed down his face, and even the vet couldn't do anything for him. It had to heal naturally because the vet had said that he'll just chew off, the any cast that he would put on it. So that was a horrible experience. But anyways, yes, don't put anything on top of the cage. It may collapse and destroy the cage, injure the rabbit, free the rabbit, and definitely will break the cage. You'll end up having to buy another one at the very least damage. Also, even if you put something on there that you know is not going to collapse it, it will in time stress out the clips on the top, and it will possibly bow the top of the cage. And once it's bowed, good luck trying to get it the right way back and still fit in the clips and so forth. So my recommendation is, if you need to have supplies around the cage, build a shelf above it or something. But keeping circulation of the cage, put the shelf up high enough, but use something else to set things down on. About the only thing I might set on there is a little paper plate with, when I bring up her greens and stuff, I'll set that on there, which is feather light, and then I remove it when I go back downstairs. Now, where would you want to put this cage? Well, you'd want to put the cage in a place that's away from drafts. It's good to have a cage that sits off the floor, even if it's just a few inches, because sometimes under doors you can get cold drafts, and that could make your rabbit sick. And at the worst case scenario, and at the best case scenario, cold. They may have fur coats, but if they're house rabbits, they're not used to being outside where it's really cold. So, it's almost like we might have our clothes on outside, and we may even have a jacket on, but that doesn't mean we want to sit outside in the cold, that we're going to get cold in time. Same with an animal. They may have fur coats, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to get cold, because we would get cold out there too in a coat. Away from vents, if you get the heat blowing directly on the rabbit, it might not, find that the best of living situations either. So it can be in the same room as a vent. Obviously, you want them to be warm, but not direct blowing on them. Also, you don't want to put them near a radiator or right on the heater, because they can get sick from, or cooked, in so to speak, from being too close to the heat, and they can get a lot of stress and become ill by being too hot. As well, you want to keep them out of direct sunlight. Some people might think, oh, isn't it nice to have a little sun shining into their cage? Well, you have to remember that it is a cage, and sun coming through the window acts as a bit of a greenhouse, and it could bake the rabbit. And if they're in a cage, they can't really get away from that heat. So if you do have them near a window, keep a lookout, at all times of the day, because you might think, well, the sun doesn't shine on it. Well, you might be looking at it at the wrong time, and at the certain time of the day, it may be shining right into the cage for several hours. So my rabbit cage is near a window, because I like her to have that sun. But during the daytime, I will close a shade nearby it. I have this, it's not a real dark shade, but it just takes out the sun, and that way she can have, when the sun isn't shining directly on her, I can open it, and she can get that nice daytime look in her cage. But when it's when I'm not going to be home, I will close it so that she doesn't get baked in there. So that's something you might want to keep in mind. Also, rabbits like to do loop-de-loos sometimes at night, in the middle of the night, or if they hear somebody out and about in the house, then they sometimes want to get out, or they want to make themselves known. So they will start hopping around and or thumping in their cage. I keep my rabbit cage in a loft, which is basically another room that has a half wall, but it's not in anybody's sleeping room. In fact, the people who sleep upstairs, they close their doors, because when she does loop-de-loos, if you're a light sleeper, she will wake you up. So you want to have it the cage far enough away from sleeping areas or areas where you have to think, you know, like offices and stuff like that, because if they're in the cage, they will they either want out or they want to be noticed, and you know they can make some noise in there, so you know, it's fine. Like I said, my rabbit comes out during the day, so I put her in my office at night, so she's not bothering anybody's thinking during the daytime, and she's having her fun in the bathroom, and but at night we put her not in anybody's bedroom, and we close the door to the bedroom so that she doesn't wake anybody up. She doesn't do this all night long, but she does it enough to wake people up and disturb them if she was nearby them. And let's see, you also want to put them in a room that's where there's some interaction, but not like necessarily the entertainment room where the stereo's blasting. Rabbits, as you can tell by their big ears, they have sensitive hearing, and that keeps them away from predators in the wild, or helps them to that means. Doesn't certainly doesn't cure it, but they can hear pretty well, and loud noises, loud music is not great for them. Now, when my rabbit comes out in the bathroom, I put on some classical music for her, but I put it on very, very low, just so that it's not dead silent for her, but she gets some nice creative music, and it's very low because I know that her hearing is quite, I would guess it to be quite amplified. But I wouldn't put her in a room where, you know, say, you know, the kids or a husband or wife or who knows what would like to listen to loud stereo music, because that would probably make her very nervous, and it could make her sick or even just cranky, hostile because of her being nervous. So, or if you have one of those surround sound television systems with that has the great big bass, well, that could make any rabbit nervous. So you might want to, you know, not put it in that room if you can avoid it. And if you can't avoid it, maybe when you're doing the loud music, you can move the cage into another room or move the rabbit into a play area while you're doing that. They would enjoy the playtime anyways. So, yeah, so next, cleaning the cage. I already went into that, how we do that. I vacuum the corners periodically because the rabbit sheds a lot. And who wants to eat hair? I don't think the rabbit wants to eat their hair any more than I want to eat it. And if it's in the air, we're going to eat it. Or in the corners. The water dish you want to, or the water bottle, you want to keep it clean. They make brushes for water bottles. I would recommend doing that because I've noticed that if water stays too long in a place, even if it's changed, it gets kind of a film around the sides of the water dish or the water bottle, and it sometimes is transparent to when you look at it, but it's there. And sometimes it takes on a slightly pinkish look if you really haven't cleaned it for a while, or if you're this is the first time you're noticing it. That's what happens. So you want to keep that clean and sanitized, because you know your rabbit will not only get a better drink of water, it will stay healthier. And the bowl, the pellet bowl, you want to keep that cleaned every week. You know, give it a good washing out. And you know, your litter box. Of course, as you're changing the chips, you might want to, well, you do want to clean that, rinse it out, and you know, even on a daily basis, rinse it, or you know, on a weekly basis, give it a little stronger of a cleaning, and periodically replace it because you know the smell at some point doesn't come out anymore, and it's rabbits have very sensitive noses, and that strong smell, you know, it can, you know, damage their nasal passages if it's pretty strong smelling after a time. So you want to keep that clean and fresh. Let's see, what else can we tell you about this? I bet you never thought that someone could talk so long about a rabbit house or any other subject. Well, as some of you may know in earlier podcasts, I am a web developer by trade, and I develop a website, develop and maintain a website for a big nonprofit, and I'm very detail oriented, as you could tell. So, you know, if you don't like all the detail, you know, you skip ahead, and or let it go in one ear and out the other. And if you're a detail-oriented person, well, then great, you'll get a lot of good information, I hope. And at least you'll know how one mad woman does her rabbit. So, what else can I tell you about this? Let's see here. Yeah, when I lift my rabbit out of the cage, or when I clean the cage, I put on a pair of sweats, an old t-shirt, put it on just for the cleaning, because when you're cleaning that cage, I'll tell you what, there is hair going all over the place. Not just when you're vacuuming, that helps, it sucks it up, but then there's fans on the other end of the vacuum that sometimes blows the hair around. You'll get hair all over you. So just to keep yourself unfrustrated, put on some old clothes, and as soon as you're done with the cage, cleaning the cage, take them off, put them in the dirty clothes basket, and put on new clothes, and you won't have to eat hair the rest of the day. You could also use one of those tape brushes, tape rollers, but I just don't even bother with it. I just put the clothes in the clothes hamper, and that's it, done. And as I said, when I'm cleaning the cage, I take Gracie out of it and I put her in the bathroom with her with a separate litter box, which is a cat litter box with a housing on it, and she jumps in and out of there, helps keep her from throwing her litter all over the bathroom. And I give her a dish with some food in it, some pellets and some water and some toys, and she loves it in there. Toys I give her are things like the old roll from a toilet paper or a paper towel roll. She loves those kind of things. I'll put an old sock in there, a couple of old socks. She loves to nibble on the cardboard egg carton things. I get some of those. I save those up. I don't give her the styrofoam ones, only the cardboard ones. And she loves those things, and it hasn't seemed to cause any problems with her digestion thus far, and it's been a few years that I've been doing that, so that's another tip. Let's see, what else can I tell you? Okay, then what I'll try to do is give a quick, hopefully quick summary of points to recap. Okay, a cage can never be too big for a rabbit. It can and often is too small. So they say you also want to do twice the space if two rabbits are being housed together. That's kind of a rule of thumb that you could do. A cage should provide an elevated area from the bottom part of the cage where the litter pan is, such as, the shelves that I was talking about. That way the rabbit always has a clean place to lay out and just kind of to get away from the bottom of the cage. Nobody wants to hang out in the same level where they go to the bathroom. So that's something to keep in mind. If at all possible, use a litter pan, like the corner pans that are secured to the side. If at all possible, it's cleaner for the rabbit. It will make your work much, much easier in keeping that cage clean than having to change. Say you have the whole bottom filled with pine chips or rabbit litter, and you have shelves. You'll end up cleaning that more often and have a lot more time having to spend cleaning it than you would if you could get your rabbit to use the corner pan. Now, rabbits like to go in corners to the bathroom, and they also typically will go in the same place. They like to be clean, most of them. And if you always put the corner litter pan in exactly the same place, secure it, clean it every day so that it's not like kind of gross for them to have to go into, then most rabbits will go in there. And like I said, it literally takes me, I've timed myself, because sometimes I like to bellyache about how much time I spend doing this or that, whether it be cleaning a rabbit cage or doing dishes. I'll time myself and I'll say, you know what, that only took me 3 minutes or 5 minutes. Why am I belly aching so much about this? Just do it for 5 minutes, and don't even start belly aching, because the belly aching took you an hour to belly ache, and it only took you 5 minutes to do the task. Trust me, if you get a litter pan, it really only takes 3 to 5 minutes to clean that thing every day, and don't think about it, just do it. That's I'm saying this with a smile. because really, I truly do this. I'm that neurotic. But so we put it in the same spot. We secure it to the cage so it doesn't move around. If it moves around, you're going to have a mess in the cage, and you know that's not fun either for cleaning. Recommend letting your rabbit out daily for at least a few hours. I let my rabbit out all day long, from the early morning, about probably before I go to work, till I come home in the evening, which would be, you know, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock, and I put her in a secure room, which is my big bathroom. There's no cords or anything like that that she could get into. Rule of thumb, I had a piece of linoleum that was sticking up in my bathroom. My rabbit went straight after it, made it even worse. What I did is, on the stray piece of linoleum, I saw it pretty quick that she was doing a number on it. You have to learn not to freak out about stuff, too, you know. You just gotta, you know, things happen, and, you know, getting all freaked out is not going to help. You just, you know, move on. I found a couple of flat stones in my backyard, and they were heavy enough that the rabbit couldn't move them around, but not heavy, not so heavy that I couldn't easily lift them, and they were flat. So what I did is I brought them up into the bathroom, and they permanently sit on this little piece of torn linoleum so that she can't make it any worse. If they find a corner to pull up in your bathroom, they will. If there's no corners to pull up, no problem. It's not going to happen, so you don't have to worry. But if you see a spot that they might go after, put a stone on it, and you know, you clean around the stone. Make your life easier. And it's actually quite a pleasant-looking stone, so it doesn't bother me anything. It's behind the toilet, by the way. That's where she went off, you know, where the pipe was coming up. That's where she found a spot to dig at, and the stone has saved that. I'll tell you, in advance, if you see a spot, put a stone on it beforehand so you don't have to worry about getting to where I was at. You know, when you put your rabbit out for the day, make sure that there is water in a bowl that she can't turn over, and some pellets. And like I said, I give mine some Timothy hay in the bathroom, and she has her litter box. At one point, she started going after a little piece of woodwork in the bathroom, and I sprayed this stuff called Keep Off. It's a natural spray, and it tastes kind of terrible. So once I sprayed a little bit on that, she did not want to touch it anymore, the woodwork. So that helped. But if you do that, one tip, don't do it, and do it at least a few hours before you put your rabbit in there. And also, when you're spraying it, put a hanky or something or a Kleenex over your mouth and nose while you're spraying it, because the stuff, it's even in the mist, it is the most horrible tasting stuff in the mist. If you're spraying it, it can go in your nose, and though it's natural, it's not going to kill you or anything or hurt you. It's just, it leaves a bitter taste in the back of your throat, and I imagine it would be horrible to spray that at the same time that the rabbit would be in there for the rabbit's senses. So spray it on there just so that it has the taste, so that when they go to chew something in there, that taste would be, you know, something that would discourage them from wanting to do it, but at least the fumes wouldn't be assaulting their nasal passages. And I don't overdo it with the stuff. I just give it a little squirt, and, you know, several hours before I'm going to put her in there, blocking my nose as I'm spraying it. But that helps quite a bit. Recommended cage sizes. This I got from a book, and it seems to ring true for what my experience has been. They say 3 square feet for small to medium-sized rabbits, which would be up to 9 pounds. 4 square feet for medium to large rabbits. If you were looking, say, at a cube, 4 square feet would be 4 by 4. 5 or more square feet for giants, or for, I guess, rabbits that are housed together. Some people, I've heard, have even set up a place, say, in their basement, that is a big play area, or they have a special, an extra room that they've rabbit-proofed, and then they've put maybe a baby gate in front of it, in front of the door, and kept the door open, and that they make into their rabbit room, and some people have one rabbit in there, some people have several rabbits in there. That sounds like a really great way if you did have that spare room, but I don't have that. So for me, I use Grace's close to 10 pounds, and she's got a three square foot cube type high cage with shelves in it, and that seems to work good because she is out during the daytime, so she has lots of room at that point. So bear in mind that these are minimum sizes, and you don't want to get those small cages for your rabbit. They're just like the one that I mentioned at the beginning of my podcast that was about 24 foot long by 12 to 18 feet wide. Those are just too small for a rabbit. It's not the most humane thing to do if you can avoid it. So, and don't rely on pet shop recommendations. Some of them I'm sure would be good. Some are very great recommends, but I think the bulk of them, they just, you know, the workers, they just recommend what people typically buy. But it doesn't mean what's humane, and it doesn't mean what would be best for the rabbit. So take some of the recommends with a grain of salt. Better to, you know, talk to people who are sort of rabbit affidagios, or however you produce the connoisseurs. I guess that's a wrong word. That sounds more like you're eating them, but we don't eat them. No, rabbit lovers. How about that? So, put the litter box accessories in, like the, and also the food and water dish in easily accessible places for both you and the rabbit. And it helps when replacing the food, and also makes it so that the rabbit can get to it easily. Another recap, don't scrimp on the cage purchase. Get a good one, and it should last a lifetime for the bunny, especially if you're using that separate litter box. It won't get all stained and marred up as the ones that don't use a litter box. So, like I said, the great one that I got is about $200, 3 feet tall, 3 feet cube. Rabbit Trail makes it a great one. Some cheap rabbit cages or homemade cages, many of them will rust or they have sharp corners, so it's better to buy a good rabbit cage from the start and just go from there. My rabbit cage has lasted over 3 years and really shows very little sign of wear. So buy some extra supplies, you know, clips and stuff, though. Get that while the rabbit cage is still being manufactured, because one day when you need them, you may not be able to get them anymore. So it's always good to have those clips, which the clips get, you know, taken on and off more frequently. Those are the parts that tend to break more. They also make extra ramps. I haven't had to replace my ramps yet. And the shelves, though mine are bowed under the weight a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of bowing, I haven't had to replace them yet either. But some rabbits may be chewers, and they may, you know, need to have those parts replaced more often. Mine chews a little bit, but in 3 years, like I said, she hasn't done enough to elicit buying new ones. Don't be tempted to buy those cute plastic or glass-sided cages. While they may look really fun and neat, not only do they get dirty, they're not as nice as they might look on the outside of the packaging. They also, more importantly, they prevent air circulation. As the rabbit goes to the bathroom in there, that smell just stays in there, and, you know, it's like ammonia. It, you know, probably causes injury to the, or at least inflammation of the lungs if the rabbit doesn't have air circulating in their cage. It doesn't mean a fan, I'm just saying, just, you know, open circulation. They also, those plastic and glass-sided, become hot boxes or greenhouses in the warm weather. And that's not a good thing for the rabbit. It will overheat them and make them ill, or at the very least, it will make them very uncomfortable. Be careful if the cage is high, because when you open the door to let the rabbit in and out, or to get the rabbit, sometimes the rabbits, they get a little nervous, and they jump right out of your arms, and like I said earlier, mine did, and jumped out, fell behind the cage, broke its toe, and that was not good either. So, if your cage is on a table, be very careful when you're taking out your rabbit. Hold it good, but not, to the point of, hurting them or squishing them or breaking a bone, but just hold them securely. My rabbit cage, I open up the door and she can come out herself. It's it's only about 5 inches from the floor, and I put a little stool underneath the door and she just comes out like a ramp. Some people put a sleeping box in the rabbit cages, especially if you live in a noisy house or a house that you have kids that are taking the rabbit in and out. The sleeping cage, sleeping box inside the cage, it will take up some room in the cage, so you got to make sure you have a big cage for that, so that the rabbit still has something to do in this cage, can move around. But you want to ensure that if you use one, it has a hinge top for cleaning, and always tell your children or yourself that it's best not to disturb a rabbit when it's sleeping or in its box. That can kind of be its kind of private place. But again, have one that's hinged, because you'll want to be able to clean the cage, or if the rabbit becomes ill and you need to get it out of the housing box, at least you can still get it without breaking a bone trying to get it out. Fresh water is essential, especially if the bulk of the rabbit's food's dry, and fresh, keeping it clean, is important as well. Also, if you're using one of the bottles, you want to make sure, daily that it doesn't become stuck or clogged. So that's something to keep in mind too, because if the water is not going down, if you notice it not going down, then chances are the rabbit isn't drinking. So that's something to keep in mind. And it should go down quite a bit every day, at least a few, a couple of inches or more, depending on the size of your rabbit. If you sleep with your heater turned off in your house, or turned way down, then, in order to keep the rabbit warm, you might want to put a light sheet over the rabbit's cage to protect it from, the overly cold room. Also, too much heat can make a rabbit sick, especially when it's coupled with humidity. If you leave your house and go to work and turn off all of the air conditioning and so forth, you might want to keep in mind that somehow you need to keep that rabbit cool. And that means maybe keeping the AC on, turned on low or whatever, but don't put the cage near the AC vent, because too much cold blowing on it, or a fan blowing directly on it, is not good either. And of course, again, on the heat side, keep it away from the radiator, the fireplace, or stove, because they can get overheated. Again, you want to make sure the cage is not hit directly by the sun at any time of the day. Heat multiplies, cook the rabbit, so to speak. Ensure that the rabbit has an adequate amount of daylight, though not necessarily direct sunlight. If you house your rabbit in a dark room, basement, or garage without it having some significant out-of-cage exercise daily, it will be, if you have your rabbit cage in a low light or basement or no light situation, it can be just like putting it in a dungeon or prison, and that's not a good way to live either. Even the calmest, tamest rabbits need some peace and quiet, and most rabbits will become nervous when their hearing is bombarded with loud noises, such as loud TVs, stereos, or noisy yelling kids, people. So you want to make sure they have some quiet time and away from some of those loud noises. So that's location of cage. If the place that you had picked for the cage seemed perfect, but it isn't working out, simply move the cage. Try different places. Different places might work better than others. So the rabbit doesn't mind having the, cage moved, as long as when you're moving it, you're not jostling it all over the cage in the process. Okay, I don't really talk about housing for outdoor rabbits because I don't have experience in that area, but I know that there's some good books on that. And I also live in extreme places where I would never put a pet rabbit outside. where it's extreme temperatures, whether it be cold or warm. Personally, I don't like the thought of exposing my pets to extreme temperatures, and so that's why I wouldn't put it outside. But I do actually let my rabbit out in a play area outside with me, a fenced off caged area, so I watch it because hawks like to go after rabbits if you're not watching it. But I'll talk more about that in a future podcast about what I do for outdoor exercise. I want to recommend a great book. It might even be out of print, but it's probably available on used books if it's not available new. This book is the greatest book I've ever read on rabbit care. And this person is very humane. And it's not just like how to have a rabbit and raise it for meat or whatever. It's like pet rabbits. And the book is called Rabbits and Other Furry Pets by Elizabeth Randolph. Again, Rabbits and Other Furry Pets by Elizabeth Randolph. She covers in this rabbits and other animals like hamsters, gerbils, guinea pigs. But even though it's not fully on rabbits, it is the best book I've ever read. I got it in a little paperback. It was copyrighted in 1992. Look for it like on eBay or half.com. I'll bet you'll find it. It's well worth it. It is not a real thick book, so you know you won't be spending a lot of time reading it. And it's really quite interesting. It's written interesting. The ISBN number, for those of you who want to look it up that way, is 0-449-22033-8. Again, 0-449-22-033-8. And again, it's Rabbits and Other Furry Pets by Elizabeth Randolph. And now I want to share a tip from another bunny fan who was so gracious as to send me her feedback. And I'll just give you some of her tips, and some of them I thought were really wonderful. And again, we're sharing experiences here, so the more people that will write in and pass along tips, the more we can all share together off everybody else's experience instead of reading always these long technical books that can be boring. So this is from Judy from Maryland, and Judy has two beautiful bunnies. One is named Thumper, and one is named Bella Sophia. Thumper is has his girlfriend is Bella Sophia. She used to have a bunny that was named, let's see here, I'm looking, well, let's see, Thumper was a leftover bunny from Easter. When she got him, they told her that he was an adult. And let's see, they told me he was 6 months old. And they also told her that he was a male. Well, she said one out of three isn't bad. Turns out he was 12 weeks old and he got bigger. He is a gorgeous chocolate marten with a white tummy and white eyeliner. Sounds beautiful, Judy. He is now 5 years old, and although he was fixed, she says he can be a bit of a grump, hence the nickname Thump the Grump. His first girlfriend was Emma, who looked just like my little Grace, if any of you have seen on my Rabbit Grace podcast website. I have pictures of Grace there. So anyways, back to Emma. Emma was a rescue bunny who literally came to her on a dark and stormy night. The previous owner told her that the name was Fuzzy and that she was a boy. She says she fell in love with her that first night, and she had to take an emergency ride to the vet the next day due to some fecal impact problems. She said it cost her a lot of money later, but the rabbit completely won her heart, and she became Thumper's first girlfriend just a few months later. She said that sadly, Emma always had digestion issues due to her previous life. She had lost Emma a couple of years ago due to those issues.
And last year she adopted Bella Sophia, who is now Thumper's new girl. So Thumper has a wonderful new mate, Bella Sophia, who I would guess has probably been, both of them have been spayed and neutered. So when we say girlfriend, they could still be a girlfriend boyfriend without having to get into having children. As we know, sometimes you can, many, many times you can have great relationships without having children as well. So, here are some of the suggestions that Judy from Maryland has been so gracious as to give us. She says what she does is she empties paper towel rolls or toilet paper rolls and stuffs them with hay and sometimes even a papaya treat or two, and that makes a wonderful cheap toy and a very enjoyable one, I would guess, as well. Myself, I haven't gotten to that point yet. I've just given them the toilet paper rolls, but this is a good tip for me. I'm going to stuff mine with some of that Timothy hay. I'll keep the broom nearby to sweep up a little, but that's kind of a norm anyways. Also, another tip, she said, look for local bunny rescue groups. Now, if you go to bunny.org, this is a side note of mine on the bunny.org, they have chapters by state of local bunny rescue groups, and this is how you can get in touch with local bunny people. Now, part of her tip is these bunny rescue groups often buy supplies in bulk and get discounts, and they're often willing to pass those savings on to you. They also sometimes have some events such as nail trimming bunny spas and electric cord repair days. That sounds kind of fun. Probably a great way to bond with other like interest people who have rabbits as well. She said that Ether Bun is a great resource. Now I have to look that up myself too because I haven't heard of it. She spells it Etherbun. She says that spring is a great time to gather dandelion leaves from untreated lawns as a treat for the bunnies. Now when she says untreated lawns, that means don't pick the dandelion leaves from areas where you think they may have put like chemicals or poisons to control pests and stuff, because that could make your rabbits ill. But if you know that there's an area where it's untreated, the dandelion leaves, I know that the rabbits love that. Also, if you don't have a garden, growing some herbs like cilantro or parsley in pots or on a windowsill can be special treats for bunnies, and of course that too, you'd want to make sure that they're untreated. Cat toys, the hard plastic ones with a bell, are favorites at Judy's house. Now I've used some of that and tossed the ball back and forth to my bunny, and she seems to like that a little bit. Some rabbits like it better than others, so give it a shot. It's a cheap way to make some fun for your rabbit. Another thing that she does is she says the empty cardboard box that once was used for copy paper can be a great edible hideout. Be sure to cut a hole in its entrance and let them do the rest. I've done this before with a box, and boy, did my rabbit love it. I cut open tore open a hole for the front and the back side, and she just used it as a tunnel. She loved it. So those are some really good tips. And those tips come from Judy, her, and some of her other rabbits, which is Bella and Thumper. And she also has some other pets. She has four collies, and her collies' names are, which I'm sure are very special animals, Sadie, Holly, Andy, and Alex. And again, they are all from Maryland, and they send their greetings to everybody. So with that, I am going to conclude this podcast. It's been way over time limit, and I'll try to get a little bit less time on the next ones, but I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope that I've given you some tips that you can use, and send me your comments or tips or experiences, and I will see what I can do to put them on a future podcast. Again, my email is cleblanc@charter.net, cleblanc@charter.net. Thank you all, and have a wonderful day.